And welcome to the book club on Perspectives. And joining us today are J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. And they're going to talk about the book that just came out, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I think one of the problems we had connecting you all, making a conference call, the fact that we had a 1960s model phone. And so we wanted to be vintage, and I guess that didn't work. But we did it because it was hard, right? Not because it was easy.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right.
Very nice.
So let's start, first of all, with you, John, because you write the foreword to this book. And if you wouldn't mind sharing with us just a little bit about your background.
Sure. Basically, I'm just recently retired. I'm a baby boomer. And when I was a boy, the Mercury astronauts and, of course, Preston Kennedy were all big national important heroic types. So that's what triggered my interest, lifelong interest in the space program, and then I was fortunate enough to have my family move to Florida in 1965, which is just when Gemini started going, and we went over to the Cape in between Gemini launches for the first time to check out that facility. And then thanks to another local connection, I was over at the Cape for Apollo 11 to see that launch and some of the other Apollo launches, and then after college, I got into the news business, and for about 25 years, I was a news correspondent, and I had the great fortune to cover the space program. So that's my background in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you. That was John Bisney. How about you, Jay?
Well, as far as the space program goes, I'm a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years younger than John, so I'm more familiar with President Nixon probably than Kennedy, but I grew up in the early space age as well, and got attraction to space photos back in the early 70s period, and slowly built up this large collection of prints. And I've been putting them to use through these books the last few years, but I'm strictly a collector all these years, you know, as far as space goes. None of my work has anything to do with what we're doing now, but putting it to good use now.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. The book is The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. We have listened to many times, watched it on TV, everything, the famous speech that President Kennedy gave about choosing to go to the moon. But before that started, President Kennedy had an interest in what was going on at NASA. And there was a time, I didn't know about this part, where he asks, why just fly around the moon? Why not land?
Yeah, he was quite fascinated by the prospect of an expanded manned space program, especially. He was not terribly interested in having a broad, huge space program with all sorts of, you know, scientific add-ons, although he appreciated the value of weather satellites and communication satellites. But I think the president saw the opportunity to put together a moon program as obviously a very potentially effective weapon in the Cold War against the Soviets. So I think he was always, when he was a senator, he was not really in favor of a big space program. But once he got into office, it wasn't a couple of months later that the Soviets launched Yuri Gagarin as the first person in space. And I think that's, among other things, what got the administration's attention. And said, well, you know, maybe we need to be on this same stage.
And one of the things that people remember and have read about or listened to, the fact that President Kennedy was a big inspiration for the NASA program, but also to the American people. People were excited about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. And it's because it was portrayed as a national imperative. I mean, the president won election on the claim that there was a missile gap that needed to be addressed between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. So once it became apparent that the Soviets, you know, of course, in 57, put a satellite in orbit, and then first man in 61, why, you know, they look like they're gearing up for all sorts of stuff. And I think the concept that we needed to compete with them and, you know, overcome them and their communistic system was, yes, got the interest of a lot of Americans. It was very popular.
He wasn't that excited about it in the beginning. I mean, I've learned a lot about this, too, through this book recently. And it's interesting to see how JFK didn't seem that excited about it at the start. but he sure caught on and saw the importance in a quick, like John said, once the Russians got things moving, we had to catch up in a hurry.
We're visiting with Jay Pickering and John Bisney. The name of the book is The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. Now, Jay, tell me a little bit about these pictures that we see in the book.
Well, JL, I got to give him props here, has probably, I think there's no denying he's got the largest private collection of U.S. manned spaceflight imagery in the world, to the point that every now and then, former astronauts call him looking for photos for their books. So he sent me, and I don't remember exactly why, but a really couple of beautiful color photos of the president giving Alan Shepard his Distinguished Service Medal at the White House in 1961. And I was just struck by, maybe I got a new monitor that day, I don't know, but I was struck by how clear they were and how good the color was. I said, wow, because, most of what we remember, at least I remember for President Kennedy, is in black and white. So you see this color that they took. I said, wow, that's really cool. I know space people would enjoy that. Let's see what else there is. Well, once we started looking at what else there was, we found out there was a lot of stuff. And the whole concept just kind of came together to, I'm guessing, maybe 60 to 70% of the photos come from the Kennedy Library, but the remainder come from the JL collection and from other federal agencies, and they all came together, just dovetailed very nicely.
Gentlemen, this must have included, or there was a lot of research going into this, not just because of the information out there, but also the fact that, as Jay, you mentioned earlier, the fact that all these pictures that you had to go through, and it was hard to decide what goes where.
Yeah, you're basically asking, how do we choose which ones to use? I think our aim is always to keep the story intact, yet try to pick images that people are not real familiar with. That is a hit and miss thing at times, because sometimes you have to leave images in that are iconic to tell the whole story, but we like to dig in and find similar images that were taken of particular events and put those to use. And that usually involves going into these archives and really digging in deep. And stuff is there. You just have to take the time to go in and do the research. But I think we've picked, this book has, 520 pictures in it, I think. So I think we did a real good job of telling the story visually with this book.
I will tell you, too, that you're quite right when you say it was a little tricky in some places putting things in order. That's where the president's daily schedule, or daily diary, as it's called, that obviously the library has, was very helpful in tracking things down, putting them in order. But you're right. He did a lot of traveling around, did a lot of things. And there is another book that's out right now, I will tell you, by a very famous historian about this subject. And there are a number of mistakes in it, because he has things out of order in certain places. So you're quite right.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. The book is The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy, A Rare Photographic History. And one of the things you just mentioned about the traveling, the president speaking, one of those trips was in 1962 when he traveled to Houston, and it was there that he delivered his famous speech at Rice University.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that,
yes.
J.L.?
Go ahead, John. I'd rather hear your version of this.
Well, he was on a two-day whirlwind tour of major U.S. space facilities. He stopped in Huntsville, Alabama first, and then he went to Florida, and then he, on the second day of the two-day trip, he went to Houston, where he got a nice tour of an early facility that was later become part of the manned spacecraft center, today the Johnson Space Center. And then the next morning, or actually that morning, then went to Rice University, where he sort of reprised his famous May 1961 speech of going to the moon. But he was before a huge audience, about maybe 40,000 people there in that stadium that hot day. And his rhetoric was terrific. I mean, he delivered the speech well. Apparently, later on, he said, I don't know that I did that well. But his advisor said, no, that was terrific. Don't worry. And did a lot to make clear to the American people that, this guy, again, they thought he was kidding around, but he was serious. I mean, it's two major speeches in 2 years now saying this is what we're going to do.
Looking back at the research that you all have done, and looking at those pictures, When some people heard that speech, what was the reaction? Did some of them perhaps even kind of doubt that this would happen, and while others were very excited about what was going on?
Boy, that's a good question.
There certainly was some doubt.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, I'm just saying, I think that was a pretty bold, statement at the time, and the technology wasn't there yet. So, yeah, it's obviously going to throw a whole lot of doubt, I think, at the very beginning.
And certainly, he made his first moon speech, as I say, in May of 61 before Congress. And that was just, 3 weeks after Alan Shepard's suborbital flight. So,
crazy.
Probably in May 61, there was a lot of skepticism as to whether we could pull this off. But, almost a year later, or more than a year later, by September of 62, we'd had astronauts in orbit, and we were moving out with Gemini. And, I think that he had made clear that we this was not just a speech.
There was a lot less red tape back in those days when it came to making big decisions in the space program. You could never get that sort of thing done these days. But
in the book, you also mentioned the fact that during this 61 launch, Alan Shepard, that the president, his schedule was interrupted so that he could watch it. And then there's a picture of the note that was slipped to the president, and it says, slight hold, T-6 and counting.
Yeah, that's a little card that his secretary, Evelyn Lincoln, gave him. He was holding a National Security Council meeting that morning, and probably about a dozen people in it, maybe fewer. But everybody knew that this launch was going to happen that morning. So Evelyn Lincoln, in her office right next to where the meeting was taking place, was monitoring things. And at that point, she walked in, gave him the card, and he knew, maybe we need to wrap up what we're doing here. In a couple of minutes, we'll just walk into the next room and watch it on television, which they did.
And one of those pictures also shows First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy in there watching the television with her husband.
Yeah, apparently she was on her way somewhere. I've never been able to track down where she was going. But you see, she's got her pillbox hat on, which I don't know that she wore in the White House very much. And he said, Jackie, look, come by here. But she said, I'm going to leave. No, come by here to the Oval Office now and check this out before you leave. So she got to see the launch, too.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. They are the authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. As I'm going through these chapters, and this book is beautiful book, big book, coffee tables kind of book, but something that you can look at in all these pictures. The way you started the chapters are interesting because you used a simulation of a countdown clock.
Well, I have to give credit to our designer at the University of New Mexico. That's our publisher. We should probably mention that. And the designer came up with that idea. And at first I thought it was a little funky because the numbers are going up, not down. But I said, no, I guess that works. So that's how that came about.
And as far as the pictures themselves that you show, there are some, because you mentioned this earlier, JL, the fact that some are in black and white and some are in color. How significant is that as far as placing them in the book and relevance to the various chapters?
I always like to use color if you can find it, but I do put President a black and white shot that's nice and clear over a color shot that's not so clear. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not. Black and white does lend itself more to looking older during the early years, but if we can find the color shot, we go for that every time. So
we were discussing this before the interview started, the fact that, next month is, actually July, will be the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And JL and I, you and I were talking, discussing the fact that we were watching it in our living rooms, and that I was disappointed anyway that the pictures were so fuzzy and the fact that they didn't encounter some kind of space alien.
I always encounter people that thought that the pictures were going to be in color, too. But, they were fuzzy, but we'd never seen anything like that before, and it still looked great back then. But, I was sitting in front of my TV with my parents, and had a little reel-to-reel audio recorder, tape recorder set up. Because I figured if I didn't record this, nobody else was ever going to hear it again. So somebody's got to have some permanent record of this. And some of those later flights after that, I used to set my camera up in front of the TV and take still pictures of off the TV, which actually turned out really well And again, I figure if I didn't take any pictures of this network coverage, nobody's ever going to see it again. Now it's all over YouTube. So, it's a big event. We get another book, picturing Apollo 11, that covers that mission. That's out of right now as well. So we're not here to talk about that one.
But we'll bring you back.
Okay.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. They are authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. The pictures themselves, as you know, we've heard the phrase so many times, a picture can tell 1,000 words, and there are just so many pictures in this book. And along with those pictures are some captions and some messages that we didn't know or were aware of, and especially the fact, as you gentlemen mentioned at the beginning of the interview, that President Kennedy was very intrigued by NASA and space travel, and some of that rubbed off on the American people.
Yeah, I think that's right. NASA came into being in 1958, so it was only 24 months, or a little more than that, before Kennedy took office. So it was a brand new agency, and it was not certainly as famous as it is today. And the president and a lot of people in the administration were, and Eisenhower too, for that matter, wanted to have the world see the United States as having a civilian space program. And that's really a big reason NASA was established, so the military wasn't running everything. And that, I think, probably was a popular idea. The Mercury astronauts were all military officers, but they appeared and were interviewed and were seen in their civilian clothing. And that was the whole push, is that this is a peaceful exploration that we are engaged in the United States.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney, authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
It's J.L. Let me take one more second here. As far as the captions, if I wanted to say something, I think this is where John really shines. As far as these books go, is we will take a photo. One of us will choose pictures that we want to use, and I'll give John as much information about this picture that I know, and then he will go to work and really look at the picture and find things. He looks at it in a way of what would people really want to know about this picture? What, you know, what do they know? Everything that's going on in that picture by the time they finish reading that caption. And it's just wonderful how he gets all the names, does the extra research of making phone calls and contacting people just to, you know, to make that caption as complete as it can be. So while these are basically photo books, they're a little bit more than photo books when you really take the captions into account.
And let me give you a great example of that. It's probably one of the most the strangest things that we found when we did this book, which is that there is a very well-known photo of President Kennedy at the lectern in the House chamber, and he's got his finger up, and he looks very determined, and that picture is universally identified as being from his May 25th speech before Congress, but it's not. It's from his first State of the Union address back in January. But the problem is there aren't any good pictures of his May speech other than those taken by the wire services, and you have to pay for those photos. So instead, everybody, including NASA now, has somehow identifying the January picture as being from May, and it's not.
That picture's been assigned that duty for so long that people just accept it.
Right.
They don't,
right.
In fact, if you try to tell them it isn't now, they doubt what you're saying.
Was it difficult to track those pictures and find out like who took what and when was it done?
Well, not thanks to the internet. I'll tell you what. I don't know. This is our fourth space photo book. The first one covers Mercury and Gemini. The second one, Apollo and Skylab and so forth. And I tell you, without the internet and without newspaper archives being available online, it would have made this book a lot more difficult. So thank you, internet gods, for being around, because you have to dig, but the resources are now at your fingertips, and that's what's so much fun.
Google goes to the moon.
Yeah.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering, John Bisney. They are the authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. As one reads this book, and I'm saying read because those captions, as J.L. was mentioning, are very important and they lend so much. But one of the chapters, chapter 9, is November 21st, 1963, the day before the president was assassinated in Dallas. If you wouldn't mind sharing with us what happened on that day.
You want me to get that, JL?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Well, the president had planned a two-day trip to Texas because the Texas Democratic Party was sort of at odds within itself, and there were two factions that were sort of fighting there. And Kennedy knew it was important to try to get everybody on the same page in his party in Texas. So that was one of the overriding purposes of the trip. Of course, he was going to give a luncheon speech in Dallas on the 22nd. But on the 21st, he flew into San Antonio, Texas, and visited Brooks Air Force Base, which was the home of all the space medicine research going on. And that was very important, obviously, to understand how space flight would affect astronauts on long-duration trips like Apollo. So that was a great opportunity for the president to... He was there because they were dedicating about six buildings that day as part of an expansion of what was going on. And there was also, the other thing we liked about that trip, is if you see there's a photo there that we had to, again, have to buy the rights for it, but it's a great photo that shows the president with a dinosaur, an X-20 space plane behind him. There was a mock-up, of course. But that at the time was the Air Force's big project. Hey, you know, we're going to have our own manned space program and so forth. Well, it didn't take long for the administration to cancel that program. But nonetheless, the president was there to see what was going on in this space medicine research field, to give a nice speech that he did about the value of the space program. And then he and his wife, this was Jackie Kennedy's first domestic trip, interestingly enough, with him. They left San Antonio and flew on to Dallas-Fort Worth.
We addressed earlier how some people welcomed the president's speech about going to the moon while others still had their doubts. And on that same page where you discuss the mock-up, there's a picture of a magazine, and it's the Space World magazine, and it says it questions the president's priorities.
Yeah, there was a lot of questioning of his priorities, because here we are now in, I think, in 1963, toward the end of 63, so he's got to run for re-election next year, and a lot of money had been spent on NASA by that to get to gear up, and they were already, you know, building and testing rockets toward Apollo. So it was costing a lot of money, and the Republicans were really getting a little antsy about it. One member of the House, Republicans, called it a whole thing a moondoggle.
Moondoggle, right.
And President Eisenhower was coming out and making some critical comments. So, yeah, he was under fire, but that's what happens when you're in politics, isn't it?
Boy, that timeline, that storyline never changed really through the entire space program that we did. Always too much money. Money was not spent in space, it was spent on Earth. People forget that.
We're visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. The name of the book is The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. Chapter 10, as we go through this book, it's titled In Remembrance, For the Eyes of the World Now Look into Space. And on the 29th of November 1963, just a week after the president was assassinated in Dallas, President Johnson issued an order, an executive order, renaming both NASA and Air Force installations in Florida. Tell us about that.
Well, this was Mrs. Kennedy was very anxious to have some sort of permanent connection between her late husband and the space program. So she lobbied a little bit. I think she talked to Secretary of Defense McNamara and also to the Vice President and said, what can we do here? And I'm not sure who specifically came up with the idea, but the decision was made, as you just mentioned, to rename both facilities down there in honor of the late president. And also the geographical feature, believe it or not, was named Cape Kennedy. Now, that didn't go over real well with the little community, the city of Cape Canaveral. They weren't going to change their name. And, in fact, a few years later, they changed the geographic name back to Cape Canaveral, too.
Right.
But for a while, yes, it's the Air Force facility was known as the Kennedy Air Force Station. And obviously, the John F. Kennedy Space Center still carries that name today.
Yeah, it's very fitting the moonport is named after him, even though he never saw a launch from KFC.
Had the president lived, what would he have thought of not just the moon landing, but where the space age program is today?
That's a good question. I think it's easy to say he'd be very proud of his legacy, even though it was, to be honest, very politically driven, politically motivated. He was a very practical politician and knew the value of taking the Soviets on in this way. And, of course, the question is, if he had lived, what would the budget situation have been? Would we have spent so much money on Vietnam? I mean, you go into such permutations that it's difficult to say, you know, specifically. But, yeah, he would have turned 100 years old last year. So, you know, I don't know if he would live that long, but certainly I think in his 80s, he would have been quite impressed with how much we've done in space, but probably regretting a little bit that the decision was made to develop a space station and the space shuttle as opposed to just going ahead and heading on to Mars.
One of the things that people remember about the landing on the moon and some of the other things going on, the fact that there was a television anchor there telling us what was going on, and perhaps the best-known anchor and a big follower and supporter of NASA was Walter Cronkite.
Yes, Uncle Walter was the a lot of people thought that Cronkite worked for NASA, I think, back during that time period, because he got so much credit for informing the public on the progress of the program and the missions. So there were a lot of other good anchors around as well during the day, but Walter was the most trusted one, I guess.
Well, and of course, probably CBS had better ratings, I'm not sure, than Huntley Brinkley. But, I mean, it was a number of factors. But, yeah, he was a very trusted, avuncular guy who people enjoyed listening. And not that none of the other people did either, but he really plunged into the educational part of it, you know, and he would do some simulations and this and that and try on outfits and, you know, really immerse himself in the details of the program.
And he brought the first astronaut on board as a co-anchor, so I think a lot of people enjoyed watching Wally Schirach.
That's true.
We've been visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney. They are the authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. Gentlemen, if people want to go on social media and find out more about this book and some of the pictures that you were all talking about, is there a specific website that they should go to? I want to do mention that the book is from the University of New Mexico Press in Albuquerque.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have I think probably the best way to find out about it is go to the Amazon page for the book. There are reviews there. There's a little write-up that I did a little bit more about the book. And then there's also a great feature they have on many Amazon books where you can, on the left side, click on a little thing and, you know, say, look inside. And they've put out quite a bit of the book, to be honest with you, on the look inside. So that would be the best place for people to find out.
Yeah, beautiful preview.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We've been visiting with J.L. Pickering and John Bisney, the authors of the book, The Space Age Presidency of John F. Kennedy. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Sam Cassiano. We had help from Gerardo Moreno. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sainz.